Let us read again from God's Word, turning to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 23, and we read the whole of this Psalm, 23rd Psalm, page 491 in our Pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, last week we considered what David had to say in the first three verses of Psalm 23. And so this evening I want to consider the second half of the psalm. David, the psalm writer, was a man who was well qualified to write this particular psalm. I can think of three reasons why David was well qualified for this task. First of all, there was the fact that he himself had spent a number of years as a shepherd of sheep. He spent time looking after the flocks, and he had some challenging experiences during that part of his life. Another reason why David was well equipped to write this psalm is that he was the king of Israel, and the kings of Israel were known as shepherds. And so from the point of view of being a shepherd king, he knew something of what he wrote in this psalm. And then the third reason why he was qualified to write this psalm is that he himself was a sheep, and he knew the Lord as his shepherd. He had been on the receiving end of the Lord's shepherding. He knew what it was like to be one of the Lord's sheep. He knew what it was like to be one of the Lord's sheep that had gone astray. He had committed adultery. He had arranged for a man to be killed. He had concealed his sin. And David knew that in his case, the Lord had gone in search of him. David showed no sign of turning to the Lord himself, and the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to retrieve David from his going astray. So David was well equipped to write this psalm about shepherding. And many people recognize the beauty of this psalm. They can admire it as a piece of literature. But it's not everyone who sees the Lord through the eyes of a sheep. And it's only when you are one of Christ's sheep that you know what a blessing it really is to have the Lord as your shepherd. David knew the Lord to be his shepherd. And so he is able, through the Spirit of God, to write these words. Now, the second half of the psalm is written in a different style from the first half. Verses 1 to 3 are speaking about the shepherd, whereas verses 4, 5, and 6 are spoken to the shepherd himself. But they continue to describe to us the watchful care that the Lord, our shepherd, exercises over his sheep. I want to think this evening, in looking at these verses 4, 5, and 6, to consider what it says about the dark valleys of life, to consider what it says about the dangerous enemies of life, and then finally what it says about living in God's house. So thinking first of all about what it says in verse 4 about the dark valleys. Children's Bible storybooks are sometimes very good, and sometimes they're not quite very good. Sometimes there's a bit more imagination there in the text than is to be found in the scriptures. In something he wrote in Psalm 23, Sinclair Ferguson writes about a child's picture book version of Psalm 23 that he had when he was a boy, and this is what he says. He says, "The cover is still fresh in my memory. David is seated on a rock, his shepherd's crook beside him. He is a beautifully complexioned, curly-haired, blue-eyed boy. Nearby, his perfectly white sheep graze on rich green pasture land set against a clear blue sky, whose perfection is only heightened by wisps of white cloud. All is well with the shepherd boy as he sweetly composes his psalm of praise. This is an ideal world. David lacks nothing." And then Ferguson adds, "Almost everything about this portrayal is misleading." That wasn't how it was for David in his experience of shepherding. And this psalm is not one that describes an ideal world. It is rather a psalm that describes the real world. And in the real world of those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there are dark valleys that have to be passed through. There are dark valleys, and there are dangerous enemies. And in verse 4, the focus is upon the dark valleys of life. The Lord is the shepherd of his flock, and he is the one who guides his sheep in the paths that are the right paths, the paths of righteousness. And the right paths are not always easy paths to go along. The right paths for us in life can be narrow and tricky and dangerous. And verse 4 speaks to us of that kind of life experience. Douglas MacMillan suggests that what David may be thinking about as he writes this verse could be the journey up into the mountains for summer grazing. It was up in the mountains that the lambs would be born, and that was a time when the shepherd had to be particularly vigilant. And David writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Many people think of these words and understand them to be referring to the Lord's presence with his people in the face of death. God is with his people in the face of death. There should be no doubt about that. He is not going to leave you and forsake you when you come to the end of your time here in this world. But I don't think that is what is being referred to here in the 23rd Psalm. Rather, it is referring to the Lord's presence with his people in the life-threatening situations that we sometimes are led through in life. This is a case where the concrete reality of death comes between the sun and the sheep, and it casts its shadow over everything. It creates darkness. It's a situation where there is a very real possibility of death, but it's not death, because due to the Lord's presence, due to the presence of the shepherd, the sheep is able to pass through this dark valley, emerging safely on the other side. The Lord brings people through dangerous situations, dark valleys. David, in his life as a shepherd, when he looked after sheep, he had faced the possibility of death as he sought to protect the sheep and the lambs that were entrusted to him. He encountered lions, and he encountered bears, and the Lord, his shepherd, was with him and granted him safety in those situations. While he was still young, he had faced a life-threatening situation when he went out against the mighty Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. The Lord had been with him. And many times Saul had sought to take his life. He had faced great dangers, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord brought him through all of those situations. At many times there were evil forces that were combined against David, threatening his life, but he could say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David had learned to focus more upon the reality that the Lord, his shepherd, was with him than upon the dangers that faced him. And as he thought about the shepherd who was with him every moment of every day, he was comforted by two things. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David, when he worked as a shepherd, he would have had what is referred to here. Shepherds would have carried a long stick. At one end, it was rounded, and at the other end, it was straight. So it was a straight up and down stick, and you had the crook at the top of it. It was both a rod and a staff. It was one of those things that it depended which end you were using, whether it was a rod or a staff. If he used the straight end, he used it as a prod to get the sheep to move on and to go in the direction that they needed to go in. If he used it as a staff, it was reached down to pluck the sheep or the lamb up if it had got stuck in some hole or such kind of situation. For the sheep, the staff would have been a welcome implement. If they were in distress and they were rescued by means of the shepherd's staff, well, then that was a good thing. They weren't able to get out of the predicament themselves, and the staff came to their rescue. The rod wouldn't have been seen by the sheep as such a welcome thing. The sheep would have wanted to stay where it was, didn't want to be prodded with the rod to go somewhere else. But David says, your staff comforts me, but your rod also comforts me. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't go where we really need to go. And we need that rod of the Lord, our shepherd, to prod us, to get us to go where we need to go. And we also need him to rescue us from the places that we wander into that are not good for us. We need his rod and we need his staff. Some Christians perhaps need the rod more often than they need the staff. They don't go astray very much, but that's because they don't really go anywhere. And they need the rod to get going and to get somewhere in life. There are other Christians who sometimes it appears they need the staff more than they need the rod, because they'll go plenty of places, but half of them will be the wrong places, the unwise places. The Lord is a wise shepherd. He knows when to use the rod, and he knows how to use the staff. The Bible teaches us in a different context that sparing the rod spoils the child, and sparing the rod will also spoil the sheep. And our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, isn't in the business of spoiling his sheep. He knows what's for our good, and his rod is for our good, and his staff is for our good also. In life, we will face dark valleys. There'll be things we'll encounter where there isn't the light that we would want to have. We can't see where it's all leading us. It's difficult going. We'll not seem as if we're getting anywhere, and we have to keep following the shepherd, and we have to believe that he knows what he's doing in our lives, and that his rod and his staff will get us to a better place. There will be dark valleys, but he will be with us. And David knew that. The psalm also speaks as well of, speaking of the dark valleys, it speaks about dangerous enemies in verse 5. This again is dealing with the realities of life. If you have the Lord as your shepherd, that does not mean that you won't have any enemies. The Lord Jesus had many enemies. And those who follow him will have enemies also. And David says in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He says, "You anoint my head with oil." And he says, "My cup runs over." Here we have a picture of the shepherd providing for his sheep, but at the same time as a shepherd is providing for his sheep, there is the presence, the close presence of threats to those very sheep. The shepherd is providing food for the sheep, and he is providing drink for the sheep. And when the sheep were up in the mountains, the shepherd would sometimes choose a fairly flat place, and he would provide food for the sheep in addition to what they had through their grazing. And there is a problem with feeding sheep off the ground. Sheep carry all sorts of dangerous things on their feet, and if they eat off the ground, they pick up not just the food that is good for them, but they pick up the bacteria and perhaps worms and things that are not good for them. And so in order to prevent that as much as possible, the sheep wouldn't have been fed off the ground, but they would have been fed using little low tables. And so the shepherd has his little low table, and he puts the food on the little low table, and the sheep gather around, and they feed off these little platforms. And that may be the kind of picture that David has in mind. The threats to the health and well-being of the sheep are just very close by, there in the ground. Just a few inches below the table, the danger is there. But the table gives protection, and the sheep can feed without taking in that which is harmful. A table is prepared for them in the presence of their enemies. It also speaks about the heads of the sheep being anointed with oil. Nowadays, all sorts of different chemicals are used in the dipping of sheep to protect them from the threat of flies. But before those things were available, what was used for many centuries would have been linseed oil, and maybe with some other things added to the linseed oil. And the head of the sheep would have been anointed with oil for its well-being, for its protection. It would have been put on the horns and on the head of the sheep to give it protection from the flies that would do it harm. The Lord is a shepherd who knows what the dangers are. He knows what the threats are to the well-being of his people. He knows that we live in a dangerous environment where there's all sorts of temptations, where there's all sorts of things to lead us astray. And the Lord is able to protect us. Even in the presence of our enemies, those who are against us, those who want to harm us and harm our faith, the Lord is there and he knows what we need. David says that so well is he provided for that his cup runs over. The Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, he spoke of that cup that he had to drink. And Jesus had to drink the cup of God's wrath. And those that he drank that for, we receive the cup of God's goodness. And God is good to the followers of Jesus Christ. Our cup runs over. Our blessings that we receive from the Lord our Shepherd are great. It's not just a wee pour in the bottom of the cup, but our cup runs over. We're abundantly blessed. There's nothing better than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd. He is the one who is with us in the dark valleys. He is the one who protects us from the dangerous enemies. And he will keep on doing that. And we can trust him. He knows how to shepherd. The final thing here in this psalm, it speaks about living in God's house. In his little book on the 23rd Psalm, Douglas MacMillan writes about a sermon that he heard preached by an old Highland shepherd who was also an elder in the church. And when he came to this verse 6, in his sermon, the old shepherd said that he likes to think of this verse as being speaking of two sheepdogs. One of them's called goodness and the other is called mercy. And those two sheepdogs are there following the flock all the time. And they're both thoroughly good sheepdogs. They're not get up to any nonsense, anything that they shouldn't be doing. They'll do exactly what is good for the sheep. And in his sermon, the old shepherd spoke about how a sheep would wander off the path on the left-hand side, and goodness would go, and goodness would bring it back. And then one would go off on the right-hand side, and mercy would do her job, and she would bring that one back. And goodness and mercy would be there every day, constantly on duty, goodness and mercy following the sheep. The first part here in verse 6 is focusing on this life. The second part deals with the life to come. And David says that in this life, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what a good thing it is to know that it is all the days of our life that this will be the case. The presence of God's goodness in our lives, the presence of God's mercy in our lives does not depend on how we feel. It doesn't depend on what kind of mood we're in. It doesn't depend on whether we're up or down or any of those things. On the days when we can't really be bothered with spiritual things, on the days when we know that our attitude is wrong and this is not how a Christian should think and feel, on those days, his goodness and his mercy are still there, still doing their job, still following us. They are there. They are there all the days of our lives. Sometimes Christians can have a great heaviness that comes upon them, and they don't feel like praising the Lord, but his goodness and his mercy are still there. And God's goodness and God's mercy will follow us every path in life that we go upon. Every wrong path we go upon, every path that we'll later regret, his goodness and mercy follow us. In 1893, Francis Thompson wrote a poem about how he had desperately sought to avoid God, but he couldn't do it. He writes, "I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, the hound of heaven pursued relentlessly." God follows his people. His goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. There are two sorts of people who cannot escape God. Those who are not his sheep cannot escape the judgment of God. Those who are his sheep cannot escape the grasp of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. God will bring his people back. God will rescue us. The Lord, our shepherd, will use his staff, and we will be kept. We are kept every single day of this life, and that includes our last day. God will not desert you when you come to your last day. You'll face then something you've never faced before. You'll not know how you'll be able to cope, but he'll be there and he'll bring you through. And David says that beyond this life, he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Before we went away on our holidays, we had our two rabbits fairly well house trained. They had managed to get to the stage where they would do their pees and they would do their rabbit droppings in a litter box, and very seldom did anything of any substance or consequence appear anywhere else. But see, 2 weeks in China, what that did to those rabbits. When we came back, they had been in an outside hutch for a week, pretty much, not been out and about. And when they came into the house, there was rabbit droppings everywhere. They were peeing left, right, and center, and they had to be evicted from the house. We couldn't have rabbits like that about the place. And so they're banished now from the house, not allowed in until they demonstrate that they can behave themselves properly. Well, this psalm speaks to us about a huge flock of sheep living in God's house forever. How would you like a flock of sheep in your house? I don't think you'd be too keen on that thought. They're nice to look at out there in the fields, but not in your living room. But David says that as a sheep, he knew that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He doesn't say, "I'll dwell in the Lord's green pastures forever. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew that his shepherd had such a great love for his sheep that nothing would do but that those sheep would be there in his house with him forever. And that's how the 23rd Psalm ends. It ends with the Lord's sheep forever with their shepherd in his very house. But of course, this is not the final word that God has to say in the Scriptures on the matter of the Lord as our shepherd. The New Testament gives us an even more complete picture. And the Lord Jesus chose this as the picture of himself, that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus dies in the place of his sheep. Jesus dies for the sins of his sheep. He is the shepherd who also becomes the sacrificial lamb. And Christ's sheep are purchased at the cost of his own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ leaves his heavenly home. He does it in order to live out his life here in this world for his sheep. He goes to the cross to die that death for his sheep. He rises again for his sheep. And he has gone to prepare a place for his sheep so that they will be with him forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the one in whom David, the shepherd of sheep and the shepherd of men, trusted. And there's no more comforting knowledge that a person can have in life than knowing that we are one of Christ's sheep. If the Lord is your shepherd, then he will not rest content till he has you with him in his house, and there you will dwell with him forever. The good shepherd and the sheep for whom he gave his all. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in his house forever. Precious truths. Amen.